Good morning and welcome, everyone. I'm Ted O'Toole, guiding teacher of Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. This morning, we're going to do something a little different from our usual program, and I'm quite excited about it. We're having a joint service with the Twin Cities Buddhist Sangha, which is a group that has been practicing in the Jodo Shinshu tradition here in Minnesota since the 1940s. And I'm really happy that in the past year and a half or so, we've been getting to know each other's sanghas and each other's traditions. It was a little over a year ago that we got together as co-sponsors of a talk by Duncan Williams about his book, American Sutra, which was about the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. And my friend, Todd Tsuchiya, has spoken to us on a Sunday, and I spoke to the Twin Cities Buddhist Sangha on a Sunday as well. So a very warm welcome to everyone who is joining us this morning. We're going to do some chanting in both of our traditions and hear a short Dharma message or Dharma talk from each tradition. And then at the end, after the announcements, we'll do what we always do on Sunday, which is to go to breakout rooms. And that's our electronic version of having tea. So it's kind of a social time, and where you can join with 2 to 4 other people who will be randomly assigned. And I invite you, if you'd like to do that, to come and maybe see some old friends, maybe meet some new friends. All you have to do is stay in the meeting after the announcements, and then you'll be assigned to a room. Now I'd like to turn things over to Todd Tsuchiya, who is a priest from the Twin Cities Buddhist Sangha. Todd?
Thank you very much, Ted. And thank you for the Minnesota Zen Meditation Center for opening your arms and allowing us to gather together. I think this is a very meaningful time to be together. And so moving on our program, our service plan today is the chanting. And so before I introduce what we will be leading in the chanting, I just want to make a brief comment on chanting in our particular tradition. So chanting in Shin Buddhism, in Jodo Shinshu, our tradition, has, I think, 3 aspects that I want to maybe point out. So this isn't all and not all inclusive, but the 3 things I think that we experience. And one is the meditative aspect, secondly is ritual, and a third is learning, not necessarily in that order. And to me, I think the meditative part is being fully engaged in chanting, and that enables us to focus on the present moment. So this is especially so when we're all together and when our voices are joined together, but unfortunately not as easy, of course, through Zoom. And this meditative aspect is helpful even if we don't know the meaning in the words. And regarding the ritual part, it helps us maintain a link to the history of the Buddha who transmitted these words over the centuries. You know, as you all know, Buddhism began as an oral tradition, so the teachings were transmitted in this way. So we can think of our bodies, our voices, as an instrument of propagation, and allows for a feeling of oneness among people who participate and who have participated throughout time. And the learning aspect comes from learning the Dharma or the teachings expressed in the sutras. So most of our sutras are chanted in a very stylized Japanese language, which is even difficult for the native Japanese speakers to truly understand. But chanting is really not meant to be an intellectual exercise. So in the Jodo Shinshu tradition, everyone, not just the priests, are encouraged to chant together. And it's important for all of us to participate as we consider all of us as fellow travelers on the path. And through participation in the chanting, the full experience of the Buddha service is realized. So I encourage you all to participate, even though you're all muted. The Japanese language will be written in English letters, so you just read them phonetically. And today we're chanting a more of a traditional, I guess, introductory chants for the service. So first will be Sambujo, which is three respectful callings. And the words were written by Shandao, who is considered the fifth Pure Land Master of our tradition. And it's done in the beginning of gatherings to welcome Amida Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha or Gautama Buddha, and all the Buddhas of the 10 directions to enter our space. And this symbolizes our willingness to open our hearts and minds to receive the Dharma. We'll then go immediately into Vandana Tisarana, which I understand your Zen Center members are familiar with, and I believe we do this somewhat similarly. And the Vandana is an ancient chant that praises the Buddha. The Tisarana is the universal Buddhist affirmation of the three treasures, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And this version will be sung in Pali, English, and also in Japanese. And so we cheated a little bit by pre-recording our minister and minister's assistants so our voices could be combined, which of course normally can't be done on Zoom. So please join us. You're all muted and the words will be on your screen.
Thank you.
I'll turn it over to Ted to introduce the Heart Sutra.
Yeah, the Heart Sutra is our most frequently recited chant at MZMC. We do it 5 mornings a week, and we do it during some of our retreats. And it's very rich in meaning. And I would say that chanting in our tradition has the same functions that Todd identified of it's meditative, it's a kind of ritual. There is learning involved as well, or can be, and that's not an exclusive list. This chant is very rich in meaning, but if it's new to you, you don't need to think too much about the meaning. You can just enjoy the sound and how it affects you in each moment. And you'll notice that this chant has a series of no phrases: no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. A lot of what seems like negation. But what this is about is about how things do not have an independent existence, but they do have an interdependent existence. And that's the other side of this. All things are interconnected and all things matter. And this is affirmed by the mantra at the end, and Bodhisvaha. And interconnections are also affirmed when we chant together. Although I'm sorry to say we have to all be muted except for the chant leader. But you're welcome to chant along at home if you would like to, and here it is on your screen. And our chant leader this morning is Aaron Ackerman, who is coming to us from Iowa.
Art of Great Perfect Wisdom Sutra.
Avalokiteshvara
Bodhisattva, when deeply practicing Prajnaparamita, clearly saw that all 5 aggregates empty industry, leaved all suffering. Shariputra form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself forms sensations, perceptions, and consciousness are also like this. Shariputra dharmas are marked by emptiness. They neither arise nor cease, are neither defiled nor pure, neither increase nor decrease. Therefore, emptiness, there is no form, no sensation, no perception, no formation, no consciousness. Eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no sight, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch. Object of mind, no realm of sight, no realm of mind, consciousness. There is neither ignorance, extinction of ignorance, neither old age and death, nor extinction of old age and death. Suffering, no cause, no cessation, no path, no knowledge, and no attainment. Nothing to attain. A bodhisattva relies on prajnaparamita, and thus the mind is without hindrance. There is no fear far beyond all inverted views. One realizes nirvana. Buddhas of past, present, and future rely on prajnaparamita and thereby attain unsurpassed, complete, perfect enlightenment. Prajnaparamita as the great miraculous mantra, great bright mantra, the supreme mantra, the incomparable mantra, which removes all suffering and is true, not false. Therefore, proclaim the Prajnaparamita mantra, the mantra that says Gate, Gate, Para, Gate, Parasam, Gate, Holy Swaha. May our intention equally penetrate every being in place for the true merit of Buddha's way. All Buddha's 10 directions 3 times. All beings, bodhisattva, mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, mahaprajna paramita.
ナマンダーブツナンマンダブツナンマンダブツナマンダーブツナンマンダブツナマンダーブツナンマンダブツ。
And now we'll have two Dharma messages. The first from Chiemi Onakura Bly from TCBA. Chiemi is another priest with TCBA. She comes from a long family tradition of Shin Buddhist priests. And after Chiemi, we will have Andrea Martin, who is a lay teacher at MZMC and has been practicing at MZMC since the 70s, going back to the time when she was attendant for Katagiri Roshi. So Chiemi, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending today's special joint service. I'm Reverend Chiemionikla Bly, an assistant minister with Twin Cities Sangha. I grew up in Western Japan in Fukuoka. I grew up in a temple family. My family's temple is Jodo Shinshu Temple, the same as our Twin Cities Sangha. For about 500 years, my ancestors have taken care of our family temple. Before I came to Minnesota, I never thought I would be delivering Buddha's teaching in English outside of Japan. I only decided to get ordained and became a minister after I met this Twin Cities Sangha. And today I have a wonderful opportunity to make more Dharma friends. I am so grateful to be a speaker and to share the teaching with you today. The founder of our Jodo Shinshu sect, Shinran, lived in the 12th century, the same as Dogen, the founder of Soto Zen. Both teachings are established more than 800 years ago. Both have been carried on by many followers from generation to generation. Both came to the U.S. More than 100 years ago. We all appreciate the lineage of the teaching that started in India 2,500 years ago and came to China and Japan and across the ocean to North America. Jodo Shinshu Buddhism in Mahayana Buddhism is the same as Soto Zen. The main thing we are trying to teach is gratitude. Our teaching centers on the Amida Buddha, the Buddha of infinite light in life, who represent wisdom and compassion. The key to Jodo Shinshu is to realize that we are embraced in this great compassion at all times. All our services are centered on trying to express gratitude for that what we have received, that we are receiving. The people usually associate with Buddhism in meditation, especially in US and European countries. Jodo Shinshu followers don't focus on meditation. For a long time in Japan, Jodo Shinshu Buddhism was for the peasants. That's how it became the largest sect of the Buddhism in the country. It started as a very simple form of Buddhism for working class people. The peasants don't have time to meditate. When my family temple had a gathering for a special service, some members will show up very early in the morning on that day, maybe like 6 a.m. They are usually women, and then they come prepare the food, clean, and they set up the social room for the service. When I was a kid, the most temple members are farmers. People would often say that they have been looking forward to coming to the temple for days. Farmers had to walk all the time from morning till the night. There were no weekends or holidays for them. But if they said they had to go to the temple, other family members couldn't get mad at them. They would send them off to the temple gratefully. At the temple, they would enjoy chatting with other people, taking a break to sit down for tea and conversation. If they had been at home, they wouldn't have a chance to sit down. Coming to the temple was a good excuse to be away from the hard work at the temple, hard work at home. So they can simply come to the temple and listen to the Dharma. Sharing the moment with other followers at the temples is so special. There is no competitions about who studied the hardest or who practiced the most. No one cared who has been a member of the temple longer or who has trained the most. Everyone is equally sharing the teaching. We are not just a spiritual sanctuary. We are the community sanctuary, the welcoming everyone. Here is an example of the conversation between minister and a longtime member of the temple. I heard this story from one of my teachers in Japan. When the person said to the minister, "I am the best student in this temple. I've never missed any services, practice, and the study group. I'm ashamed of my family. They don't come to the temple. They are not interested in at all." The minister said, "You are the student with the best family. Why are you complimenting my shameful family and not me? They are not following the Buddhist teaching." "Yes, dear. They are the one that enable you come to the temple. Your conditions, your health, financial situation, those are what let you show up at the temple today. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Today might be the last time you come to the temple. You must learn to appreciate the conditions you have right now, and you let go of what you have done by yourself. It's called jiriki in Japanese, self-power. The ego is always working to prevent us from seeing the truth. It is easy to feel that the world owes you something after all, and we're working hard. This instinct and then transaction benefits comes from ignorance. One of the most of the Jodo Shinshu's significant teaching is about foolish being. Jodo Shinshu's founder, Shinran, often spoke of bonbu or akuni in Japanese. Those means foolish being. When referring to humans, he included himself as a foolish being. The hard part is recognizing the foolish, the badness in ourselves. Here is another example. Imagine there are three people, including yourself, trying to run a race. There is a $100 bill at the finish. If you finish first, you get the money. After you set off from the start line, the person on your right stumbles on something and falls and can't get up. How do you feel? How about if both of the other runners run each other and fall down? How do you feel honestly? "Yes, I am going to get the money." Can you be compassionate to the other right away? Can you forget about money? We never know when our egoistic mind will take over. At the beginning of the pandemic, have we ever experienced getting the sanitizer, the toilet papers, and then rush into the stores and grab them before other people? I did. I thought I have to do it for my family. I have to protect them. This is what it is to be human. We are bonbu, foolish being. Nothing is easier for us than to forget to have right view of the world. Every single moment, we must walk not to forget to feel gratitude. Chanting sutras, do meditations, listen to the Buddha Dharma, have gratitude for what we have been received. So many of us feel exhausted seeing what's going on in this country. This is the time for using the right judgment if we want justice in the future. This is not only for the victims of the hate, discrimination, violence, and the murder. This is for all of us so that we can see hope for our future. It is for the next generation, our children and grandchildren, so they can dream. Violence is happening every single day in this country and around the world against different races, religions, and cultures. Discriminatory thinking has never gone away. We must keep speaking up. We are all in this together. If we don't do something, violence and hatred is never going to go away. What we can do together, just consider the standard practice along the Buddhist way. Right view, right thought, right speech, right conduct, right livelihood, right endeavor, right mindfulness, right meditation. It is hard to be born into human life. Now we are living it. You have been giving this great gift. What are you going to do with it? This is a big question. The fact is you are here right now, so you better figure out what do you want to do right now. We have been embraced amid the Buddha's compassion. We have a gratitude for the moment to moment. For concluding my talk today, I would like to read our Jodo Shinshu founder, Shinran's writing, True Teaching, Practice, and Realization. He was extremely fond of the ocean imagery. He expressed the joyous of liberation dimensions of his spiritual life. How joyous I am, my heart and mind being rooted in Buddha ground of the universal vow, and my thoughts and feelings flowing within the Dharma ocean, which is beyond comprehension. I am deeply aware of Tathagata's immense compassion and sincerely revere the benevolent care behind the Master's teaching activity. My joy grows even fuller, my gratitude and tenderness ever more compelling. Please join me, Gassho, put their palms together. Thank you for listening my message today. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. So the next message by Andrea Martin, Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jamie. That was wonderful. Greetings, everyone. I am so happy to be with you all today. I have felt an intuitive connection to Shin Buddhism for a long time. Ever since researching Gnainan Katagiri Roshi, our founder's life, and learning that Shin Buddhism played an very important role in his development. Katagiri Roshi was raised in a Shin Buddhist household, and his family was very devout, and they chanted together every day. When he was asked about his childhood, he often spoke about the profound influence that that had on him. He said his parents did not explain anything to him. They just put him right in the middle of a religious mood. He said that was a big help. When children are bathed in this atmosphere, warmness comes into every pore. When he was 18, Katagiri Roshi hoped to become a Shin Buddhist priest, but fate intervened and he ended up ordaining in the Soto Zen tradition. I have often wondered if it was a combination of his warm Shin heart and his profound Zen mind that produced the extraordinary way he had of presenting, teaching, and showing us the Buddha Dharma. As Jamie said, we are in a lineage that descends from Ehe Dogen, who lived around the same time as Shinran Shonin. They lived during the Kamakura period in Japanese history, which was a very difficult and unsettled time in Japan. And each of them responded in his own way. Dogen finally settled into a remote monastery to train monks committed to a strict lifestyle of Zen meditation and Buddhist study. Shinran, as we just heard, feeling compassion for the suffering of the general population, the farmers particularly, developed Nembutsu as a simpler practice that could be performed by anyone. within their daily life. Nembutsu are the words that Shami pronounced at the end, or spoke at the end of her talk, Namu Amida Butsu. Today, many of us might feel ourselves somewhere in between these two poles of Buddhist practice. We have some time to dedicate to formal spiritual practice, and we are also busy householders who could appreciate a practice easily done in daily life. We have a foot in both worlds. Historically, our two lineages have come together before, particularly in China, where for centuries there has been dual cultivation of both Zen and Pure Land. And Pure Land practice became a common component of Chan Zen Buddhism. Dogen studied in China, and although the practice that he later developed did not rely on a single source of salvation, such as Amida Buddha, it had a strong devotional aspect. Sometimes the self-power of Zen meditation and the other power of Shin devotion are talked about as if they were completely separated. But Katagiri Roshi said this: traditionally, the Buddhist faith is divided into two. Zen Buddhism emphasizes individual practice, and the Shin school of Pure Land Buddhism depends on Buddha's power. But don't think about Buddhist faith according to this traditional classification. Buddhist faith includes two simultaneously. You cannot separate them. To me, it seems that self-power and other power work together in a dynamic and fruitful relationship. They are two aspects of one universal life force. I think that spiritual life arises from honoring and being attuned to that universal life force, which is the essence of Buddha and is within us. Zen gives us meditation practices that develop concentration and insight, that calm our minds and guide us to live in a mature way, giving kindness and respect to all beings. Those practices also prepare us to experience life in a deeper way. But if we make the mistake of thinking that the results of our spiritual practice can come entirely from our own effort, then we start measuring ourselves in terms of success and failure, and we might become egoistic or discouraged. So we try to remember that when we are making an effort, the universe is also making an effort. Something bigger than ourselves is constantly at work, and we are interconnected with it and supported by it. Being mindful of that support and depending on it helps to sustain our practice over the long term, helps us to relax, accept ourselves, develop humility, and experience a feeling of relief. In recent years, I have adopted a very informal and uneducated, I would admit, practice of silently practicing the Nembutsu from time to time during the day. Doing that relaxes the self-centered tension in my mind and body. With a warm-hearted awareness and a feeling of connection, the Nembutsu reminds me of the practice that Katagiri Roshi taught. He talked about opening yourself and inviting the Buddha. He said, if you want to touch the depth of your life, let go of measuring and accept the great openness of your personality. How? Open yourself and invite Buddha into you, into now. The main purpose of Buddhist practice is to invite the original nature of your existence, Buddha, into your everyday life and experience freedom from everyday life. Within the action of letting go and opening, there is something arising. A certain awareness appears in our body and mind. The natural response to receiving that awareness is relief and then gratitude. There is just thank you. This gratitude is important. When gratitude appears, it is a taste of Buddha's compassion. I'd like to end with an excerpt from Katagiri Roshi's book, The Light That Shines Through Infinity, where he talks about compassion and faith in a beautiful way. Buddhist faith is the activity of constantly seeking and basking in Buddha's compassion. Buddha's compassion is very deep in your life. It is the form of your own life. Your body and mind are produced by compassion. Your life, the life of all beings, are nothing but the total manifestation of Buddha's warm, compassionate heart. So, whatever you may feel, whatever you may think, whatever you may do, Buddha's compassion is there. You cannot see it, but your life is constantly supported by Buddha's compassion. When you trust in Buddha's compassion, this is called faith. You depend on the vastness of the world that embraces and supports your life, and you just bask in it. So thank you so much. Let me say again how happy I am to be part of this important occasion. Our groups coming together today I've been looking forward to this so much, and I feel this has enhanced my understanding of Buddha and Buddhism. Thank you so much for the friendship between our two groups, and I look forward to its continuing into the future. May you all be well.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chiemi Sensei, Andrea Sensei, for your very meaningful Dharma messages. Thank you so much for expressing the depth of the gratitude and interdependence and interconnectedness that not only we each have in our individual traditions, but together, definitely. And I think you've both expressed that so well. Just a personal note, for those of you who aren't familiar, and maybe the Zen Center people are more familiar, but I'm pretty sure our community is not. Andrea had written a biography about Katagiri Roshi, and it is, I believe, still posted on the Zen Center website. And that gave me a lot of insight into Katagiri Roshi and the relationship with the Zen Center. And I encourage you to look that up and read that if you'd like. Also, for those of us in our particular Sangha, you might remember the name Reverend Koshin Ogui, who is the head of our United States organization, BCA. He's what's called the bishop or the socho of our tradition. He was very, very, very good friends with Katagiri Roshi. And in fact, they've interacted for so many years. I think they each jokingly said they should switch traditions. They were so intertwined. And Ogui Sensei also, I believe, spoke at his memorial service, so that you understand the depth of that relationship. So I'd like to thank the Zen Center for joining me together with our Sangha and hosting today's service. Thank all of you for attending, of course. And thank you to Andrew and Chiami Sensei, as I mentioned, for your Dharma messages. Thank you to Aaron for leading us in the Heart Sutra. Thank you to Jeremy for coordinating the technology for us. It was very seamless. You wouldn't know he was involved, but he made it possible for us to gather. You know, we've developed a wonderful friendship between our communities, as has been spoken about numerous times. We have so many common relationships, interests, and causes. To be able to continue to share traditions with each other has been very deeply meaningful. And those of you who have heard my talk at the Meditation Center gathering a few months ago, I pointed out how deep our karma connections run. But I'm convinced every time I interact and every time I hear somebody speak about it, that it's much deeper and much more complex than we can even imagine or we can realize.